Lord, we just ask that you would bless Pastor Steve and Huey as they bring the message that we need to hear this morning. We love you. We love you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, church, I am delighted to welcome Lil Huey, Brother Huey, up to the front this morning. And we have the opportunity to hear a bit of his story and how things have been going, and also how God has been working in his life. And I was telling Ray before the service that the verse that I shared last Sunday from Psalm 37 also was one of the verses that really spoke to you. And so we'll talk about that in a little bit. So, and we've got nice chairs to sit this morning, and I'll give you that.
Yeah, right.
Then you don't have to shout. So you've got a microphone, and
I don't need a microphone.
Well, if you want people to be able to hear the recording, you have to use the microphone.
So you're saying if I don't do this and I don't hear the recording?
Yeah, your daughter won't get to hear that. Okay.
Too.
All right.
Praise God.
Well, what we want to do this morning is hear a little bit more. Kind of every good story has kind of a beginning, a middle, and you know, an end. And our lives, you know, we're always kind of in purpose. And so I thought it would be really helpful, because not everybody knows you personally or is knows the twists and turns of your story.
Yep.
But we know that you've had some health issues, especially over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to just start off by asking you about that. You know, is there, how did you and your family finally make the decision to go to a long-term care facility for almost 70 days?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know it was going to be that long, but how did you come to that decision, and what kind of prompted that?
Well, Pastor, the way I remember it, it was brought to my attention that I should go, and then right away I agreed, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. Now, that's a lie. That's a total lie. That's not how it happened at all. I happen to have four beautiful daughters and talented, and two of them are charge nurses, and a third is a doctor of physical therapy. And they came into, they sent in the toughest one, who's Missy, who's, they're all extremely smart. About that, not that tall, but I will tell you right now, I'm afraid of her. And so that you know, she is my stepdaughter, but I don't refer to them as stepdaughter, and we don't call stepdad or anything like that, because we're a family, and I've been married to their mom for 24 years, and 24 happy years. And so Missy came in and said, you're going to have to go to this, and I'm like, no, I'm not going into that. And so
so you were a little resistant at first.
More than resistant.
Okay.
I said, I just won't do it. And so they said, listen, you've got to do it. Hope, who's my wife, is just, I had been already at home in the bed for 30 days before I even went to the hospital, and could not get out of the bed. And Hope just was, there's just no way she could handle that. Because I'm just too big. And so really my mind was made up when Hope came in and she was in tears. And I realized I am breaking the heart of the best person I know.
Hmm.
Sorry, I'm a crier. I should have told you that maybe. But I don't want to break her heart. She's amazing and the best person I know. And so I finally agreed. And it was the right decision, Pastor. At the time, I thought, yeah, we'll get in there a couple of weeks and we'll be out. It didn't exactly work that way.
Yes.
And the thing is, as we'll get into, God has a plan. And it's a good plan. But it doesn't always mean, I'm going to love this. Right? And so, praise God. I'm sorry. I go too far.
No, as you said, you thought, you know, maybe go in there a couple weeks, yep. You know, do some you know, get, do some therapy, get a little, you know, a little more stable, and then back home. What was going through your mind when you realized that this was going to be a much longer process than you realized?
Well, lots of things went through my mind, and at the one of the things that went through my mind was, I am never going to get out of here. I want to tell you, anyone who is familiar with these places, it's not a very nice place. And I really thought, well, this had been the second time that I had been bedbound for a long time and then had to learn to walk again. And so I'm in that process now. Well, I just thought, well, this is going to be easy, but it obviously was not. And so just like always, just like any Texan, which I am a Texan.
But wait, not just a Texan.
West Texan.
West Texan. We have to make that very clear, as you've reminded me multiple times.
Just as a West Texan, there's nothing I can't handle. I'll just get in there and handle this all by myself. Of course, the Lord had a different plan. And his plan was a better plan. I will say that. And so once realizing, I'll tell you, there's a lot of emotions that you go through, and there was definitely the time when you look around and you see other people that live there, and they're never going to get out of there. And I, for a while there, thought, well, I'm never going to get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get out of here. But I started... as always, started diving into the Word, right?
Yeah.
And just diving into the Word. And I remember going back to Job. I don't, and in no way comparing myself to Job. I'm just, because that guy was righteous. I don't consider myself righteous, especially now it's not that righteous. And when I went in the second chapter, there's a verse where he says to his wife, hey, are we going to accept good from God and not the bad?
Mm.
And I just realized this is the Lord telling me that, hey, I have been extremely blessed in my life. I am extremely blessed. And I'm so thankful. You're not going to accept a little bit of pain sometimes, and so, as we'll get into later, the Lord had a plan, and that was what he was working.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I realized, over a long run, just tried to get into the Word and stay as close as I could to the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for those who aren't familiar with those kinds of rehab facilities...
Yeah.
What was a typical day like for you? And I think you actually sent me a picture of one of those typical, because those days can be long.
Yeah. So you're there, and I remember the first night I got there, the whole family was there with me, and they all went home, and I didn't get to sleep till like 5 in the morning, and then at 5:15 someone came in and woke me up. And said, hi, it's time to take your blood pressure. And so we can give you your first dose of medicine. Okay, here you go, take my blood pressure. And then get to the point where you realize, and then here comes breakfast at 7 o'clock. And every day the same breakfast for me because of my gout, which was really why I was in there. You can't have any breakfast meat, well, like bacon, pork, and sausage. And so for me, it was the same thing every day. And that took a little bit of getting used to because I am married to just a wonderful cook. And so the food was different. So that took some getting used to. We got used to that and got used to every day being the same. And then I am on a fluid restriction.
Okay.
1.5 liters a day because of my heart and my kidney failure and stuff like that. And so, all right, 1.5 liter a day. And so Hey, can I get some more water? No, you can't get any more water. Well, at home, I just got to go get water. And I, nope, can't do that. And I couldn't do that anyway, but I'd ask Hope. I'd say, hey, can I get some more water? But and it's then you come to lunch, and at some point, they would come and they would say, all right, it's time for therapy. All right. But they wouldn't tell you when. They would just show up and say, it's time for therapy. And so you had to kind of be ready. And so I would be ready for, and everybody's kind of, because everyone in the facility, just a mile, I'm going to say everyone, at some point got about 20 to 30 minutes of therapy every day. And that therapy could sometimes be painful, but I mean, it was what you needed to do, and it was the type of thing that I could get there. That I could not get at home, like they had a hoist that they had lifted me up with, which was literally kind of like a little mini crane, and it would lift me up. But I would never been able to get out of that bed, and I had been in that bed a long, long time.
So even though it wasn't the most fun experience,
not the most fun,
you were able to get a different kind of care there that you couldn't get at home.
Oh, definitely. It was the right thing to do.
And you had told me earlier that one of the things you had to learn right away was that you had to give up control because you didn't have any control.
Exactly. You're like, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Because, I mean, you promised to heal me and all this, you know, and I go for the whole healing thing. And if you've ever been in that situation where I heard someone say, most men want lots of things, but when you're sick, you only want one thing. You know, you want to be healed. You want to be whole. You want to be able to get up and walk again. And I couldn't do that. And so you end up just coming back to the Lord and saying, all right, Father, I can see here that I got a little far afield, and I probably have not been exactly where I need to be in my life. And I want to refocus on you because I see now, as he starts to mold and shape you, and you say, and you realize, hey, there's a reason for me being in here. And so I just kind of leaned into that. Okay, Lord, what is it today that you're trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me?
Mm-hmm.
And big thing he was trying to teach me was grace. We've all heard about grace, but then it's like, and that word grace, and I define grace as unwarranted love, unwarranted acceptance, unwarranted. I didn't do anything to warrant this, but for some reason the Lord loves me. I didn't do anything to earn this, but God's grace has come to me, and he said, here's my son, for instance. And here's the word, and he's just provided for me wonderfully. And at the time, sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we lose sight of God's grace, and we take it for granted. I know I did, Pastor. Yeah. And need to refocus on God's grace, and now you have God's grace in your life. Now, can you show grace to other people? Because let's face it, when we're in a room, I'm the biggest person in the room. Or at least I thought I was. God had to show me, no, you're the second biggest person in the room because I'm the biggest person as God. And my will be done. And so I just thank God that his will is one of grace. And he started showing me over and over places where you need to show grace here, because I kind of used to being, I don't want to say a bully, but it's like when something comes to me and it's like, well, here's the way we're going to do it because now I'm the biggest person in here and this is the way we're going to do it. And for a lot of you people, you already know that, and I apologize. But
you'd like to be in control.
I sometimes feel like God wants me to be in control. And I'm sorry. I'm already sorry for saying that. But
thank you, God. I'm a gift to the world.
Not so much a gift to the world, but I am here, Lord, in case you need help. I can take control. I got this. And I will admit to that being a problem. But God's grace says, hey, not everybody's exactly like me, but I love them anyway. And you see a lot of people in there that are not exactly like you, but they're suffering. And they need God's love. Yeah. And they need God. And God's grace was shed on your life, Huey. Are you going to turn around and shed it onto? Are you going to share it with other people? Anyway, I go too far.
No, and clearly you were, you had to lean on your faith a lot.
Oh, yeah.
During those long weeks, how did this time change how you viewed your physical body and God's role as the healer?
Yeah. So, I need to make sure you understand that I was saved in a Pentecostal church, and as a Pentecostal, I'm not trying to say anything wrong or bad or mean or anything. They're wonderful people, and I was a Pentecostal, and I still am a Pentecostal at heart. But as a Pentecostal, when I was a young man, and I never took medicine, I would refuse it. I'll be all right. I'll just pray and it'll be all right. God will heal me. So when this came along, and as a person who played tennis for 50 years competitively, this came along, I'm like, I'll just pray and I'll get up and walk out of here. Well, that didn't happen. Because as I learned, there's lots of ways that God can use healing. There's the healing of your body. But there's a healing of your spirit. There's a healing, you have the heart, and my heart, I suffered heart failure, so it's not as strong. But there's also, sometimes the emotional heart that needs to be healing. And God is our healer in so many ways. And I had made the decision from years that if I ask God to heal me, he's got to heal me, and he will heal me, and it's all based on my faith. Faith is important, but it's not all based on my faith. It's based on God. Even healing is about Jesus. When you go and you seek a healing, you should seek Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added onto you. I kind of had... Whereas I was still a Christian and I was still on the road, but I had veered off a little bit. Does that make sense? And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll realize, or God will bring to our attention, you veered off a little bit here, and now I am no longer your focus, but you can't make your focus the healing. The healing isn't the point. The point is Jesus. The point is, where is your heart when it comes to Jesus? And it's like, oh, okay. And so it was a little difficult, Pastor. And I had to realize, hey, God uses doctors. So my dad had his first open heart surgery when he was 35 years old. Had 3 open heart surgeries. I had been to hospitals. I didn't like them. And I didn't believe in them. Sorry for saying it that way, because that's silly now. And I know that's silly now, but God uses hospitals and God uses doctors, and I'm so thankful that he does. And I just had in my mind that I was going to rise up and walk, but that's not what God's plan was.
So it's fair to say your sense or understanding of healing was expanded a little bit.
Oh, more than a little bit. And to the point where I will take medicine. I take enough medicine to kill a horse. But I'm okay with that now because I realize now that is another miracle of God, and it's a way that he has blessed us that I'm still around, because I am sure without that medicine, I wouldn't necessarily be here. But God, don't put God in a box, Huey. Stop putting God in a box. God is so much bigger, right? God has got a plan, and it's a good plan. And I'm going to say that about 10 more times, and I apologize. But it's not necessarily my plan, and it's not necessarily our plan. And sometimes that plan says, you're going to go through a little bit here, but I'm going to bring you out on the other side. Mm-hmm. And he will, and he has, and it's a journey, right?
Yeah.
And I think that I have learned a lot about healing. I when I was in high school, I'm going to tell this real quick story. My mom was there. I was invited to speak in front of the big church. Three of us, because before we went to college, and I came down out of that pulpit and I walked to the back. There's this lady in a wheelchair, and I walked right up to her and I said, "I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to get out of that wheelchair and you're going to walk." And I said, and I was 17 at the time, and thank God, she happened to be an angel of God. She smiled at me and she said, "Sweetheart, I appreciate that, and you go ahead and you pray for me, but I am not going to get up and walk out of this chair." And I prayed for her, and she did not. And I should have learned then, Huey, you're not the healer, and you're not the one who decides who gets healed, right? And God is the healer. And I'll tell you, there are times that God, and I can say in my own life, I don't know other people's lives, but in my own life, if I'm not, sometimes the Lord will use sickness or whatever trouble or pain I'm in to bring me back to, okay, this is where I need to be, because sometimes I wander. When things are going really, really well in my life, I'm not like the rest of you. I wander. I drift a little bit, okay? I'm an American male, and so, yeah, I'll drift to, hey, what's on TV? A football. And nobody had to hear that, and I didn't even say that, and I apologize. I've had a problem with that in the past, and it's still a struggle, but God is winning the struggle. And, you know, he gently and will come to you and say this thing, and sometimes he just says, drops a bomb on you and says, all right, you know, you won't listen, so here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through heart failure. And I'm not saying that was all God. A lot of that was my own, but he's for some reason, I'm still here. And I, believe me, I've asked him, Lord, why am I still here? Why aren't I gone? Mm-hmm. And doctors have asked, why in the world? They asked me, the first thing they asked me was, we're trying to figure out why you're still alive. And I said, I don't know. And I think I do know now. I think God has a plan for my life.
I know he does.
And it's a good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, stop talking.
I'm wondering if you could share, was there a moment where you clearly felt God's presence? Oh. Maybe it was during, you know, a moment, a setback, or a moment where you're just alone in that bed with your thoughts.
Yeah, there were two moments. The first moment was I was watching you have a TV, and I was watching a movie, and in the movie, the character said, "I'm at the end of my rope." That's what he said. I said, "Oh, I'm at the end of my rope," because I really felt like I was. And immediately, the Spirit of God came and he said, you're not at the end of your rope. I'm right here. I've been right here. And you look around, you've got a wife who comes to visit you every single day. You've got, I told you I was a crier. I'm going to try not to. You've got children who bring their children, so your grandchildren, that visit you every single week. You can see here, I've got a little bit of a family.
Just a few.
You were not even close to the end of your rope. And Pastor, if the Lord hadn't come and just said, you're in a rope, I may have given up. You know, I may have said, I can't do this anymore. But he encouraged me, And I fell out of bed another second time. I knew we were coming up on our anniversary. So I, being in charge, I went out and I made sure to go and find this wonderful place that I was going to take my wife for our anniversary. And I was going to get out before our anniversary. And we were going to go and have a great time. And it was going to be a blessing. And that was my plan. Well, there was a setback, and for about 10 days, I was set back, and I had gone through really good, being able to do really, really well, and then setback, and I got angry. I got angry with staff, and the Lord came to me one night real quick. As I was only angry for about a day and a half, he came to me and he brought to me the story we all know out of the Bible where the man was forgiven a great debt. And then he went out and someone who had a great debt just a small debt, he went out and threw him in jail. And the Lord said to me, is this the way you're going to do? Or are you not going to forgive this from this happening? And I said, I thank God. I said, no, Lord, you're right. And I want to tell you, I didn't just by lips forgive. I forgave in the heart. Mm-hmm. And I could tell. And immediately things got better. The relationships and my outlook. And sometimes just, are you going to believe the word? If you'll believe the word, things will change. If you don't believe the word and you continue upon this, then you know things may not change because you've got to believe the word here. And so I did, and I'm glad I did because there was a healing there in relationships. Mm-hmm. And so that was super important.
No, you're fine. Okay. What obviously, you know, you've talked about the word. What were some of the scriptures that you leaned upon in those weeks?
So, not just those weeks, but even now, after I have three chapters that I read every day. Psalm 37, Psalm 51, and John 15. And there was a specific 37 verse 9, I believe, talks about being angry. Because the Lord also, as I read, it's like, hey, that anger, it's not going to do any good, and it's not good. So just give up that anger. And I did, and I obeyed the Lord, and it was so true. It was mm-hmm. immediately true. And I thank God for that. And then, of course, in Psalm 51, a lot of you know, I think it's verse 17, and I apologize because I don't have these memorized, but I read them every day. But where he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite, you know, a broken heart, a contrite spirit. And it's like, oh, yeah. And I love that about the Lord, that he says, you're hurting, you're broken, come to me. I accept that. It's like, okay, you don't try to bring me, oh, your perfectness, because guess what? You're not perfect. You're not even close. And so, yeah. But when you're broken, that's what I want. That's how I want you to come to me, when you're contrite and broken. Because then you're leaning upon the Lord and not upon your own. Because it's the Lord who's the might and the strength there, right? And then, of course, John 15, just by accident. No, not just by accident. I used to be a youth minister at a church and youth leader, I should say. And John 15 was something I referred to many times to the young people. And as I read through John 15, I realized in verse 2 that we've got up here, that, hey, I think this is what God's doing to me. Because there's this need or this desire to, I need to understand what's going on here. And, you know, you really don't. What you need to do is trust. What you need to do is trust. You need to trust God. Because I didn't understand, why is this happening to me? But I think I do now. And I think he's pruning me to bear fruit. And I just thank God for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Can you talk a little bit about the role that people have played in your life, and especially in this process? And what have you learned about the people in your life?
Pastor, I can't talk a little bit, but I can talk a lot, as you all know. So number one, just thank you to everyone here for your prayers. You don't really even realize how much it means when you've been in a hospital for that long. You may realize that, but if you do, praise God. But I learned, I got letters and cards. Leonard called me every day, he didn't call me every day. He called me just enough, and he came and visited me, and Leonard and Rose both, and of course, okay, I shouldn't be naming people's names, but there's just wonderful people, and the love that I felt from, it's a lonely, lonely existence and place, but I was never in. My mom, here's my mom, came in, she brought me flowers, which I'm like, Mom, flowers, really? But it worked out all right. And
real American men accept flowers.
Yeah, you know, I think I've come to realize that as Christians, our lives are not meant to be lived alone. Not meant to be this battle that we go through. It's not meant to be won alone. It's that's why God has given us a family. Why God has put us together with our different gifts and our different strengths and weaknesses. We succeed or fail as a body, and we're not going to fail. God's not going to allow us to fail, because the battle's already been won by Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. But I got so many letters and cards and phone calls, and it was just great. It was great to have that, and I appreciate that and appreciate you very much. And I know there were nights where I'm so glad for the prayers that because it can be a lonely place.
Yeah.
And of course, forgive me, pastor came and visited me, and it was always wonderful to have my children and grandchildren. We got thrown out one time because it was like too many Filipinos in one place, and the kids were making a lot of noise, but it was wonderful. Yeah. And I joke about that, and I should not, because I am married to the Filipino Ruth, the Ruth of the Bible, the Filipino Ruth. I am married to her, and I am so blessed. And so, nobody is meant to live this life alone. And I don't even mean this life. I mean this Christian walk, we are all to support each other. I appreciate it so very much. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing about the people and for also giving the marriage pro tip of publicly praising your spouse is always a good move.
I'm a well-trained husband. I've said that many times before. I've been trained by the best. And I'm kidding. I really do feel that way about my wife. Yeah. She is way better than I am, and I'm glad.
On the day you got out,
what
did that feel like?
You know what? It was the day I got out. I had a bet. They told me, "Hey, 8 o'clock, you can leave tomorrow morning." And I had spent my birthday there. I had spent our 24th anniversary there, and I was just like, "Yeah, right. I'm never getting out of here." And so when they said, "Hey, in 3 days you can go," And I said, all right, great, 8 o'clock. And so I made a bet with the guy. I said, I'll bet my wife doesn't get here at 8 o'clock because she's a Filipina and she runs on island time. She'll never get here by 8 o'clock. But she, more than that, she was ready, and I was so ready. And as you can see here, I ran out of that place. And it was quite a blessing. It was quite a blessing. Yeah. And just to be able to get home, it was great. And to be able to go to church, you know, we take for granted here. Just to be able to go to church, I mean, it really lifted me up. And I appreciate you all so very much.
One last question as we wrap up. Yeah. What word or message of hope or encouragement would you give to other people who are going through their own journey, their struggle, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, emotional?
Yep. I will tell you this. I don't know where all of you are, and you do, but I know one person does, and that's God. And don't let the enemy come and tell you you're alone, because you're never alone. If you know Christ, you are never alone. And I don't just mean that in the body. I mean, God, I can tell you that as a Christian, I have dug many, many holes down to the bottom trying to get away from what I felt like, oh, the Lord or the responsibilities or whatever. And then I get down to the bottom and I realize, oh, Jesus is right here with me at the bottom of this hole with me. He never left me. And he has not left me now. And every single day, I get better. And I would encourage you, wherever you're at and whatever battle you're in, the Lord knows. The Lord knows exactly where you're at. And the Lord has a plan, and it's a good plan. Not always something you're going to love, but something that in the end, you're going to look back and go, oh, that's what the Lord was doing. And so I thank God for that. What I do also, I apologize right now to everyone for the blue pants and the black socks. These are special socks that you have to have that I wear, and I only have them in black, so I apologize for that. But other than that, I think I did a pretty good job. My wife didn't have to.
You cleaned up real nice. I wore a...
Oh, nice. Yeah, so. Very nice. Well, you got all.
Yeah, I've got the pink.
You got all the colors.
Yeah, I
there,
got the pink, so, and the purple. So.
No, I.
You clean up real nice. So.
I don't know about that, but yeah. I appreciate you all so very much, and I have known some of you so for many, many years, I love you, and I just I look forward to tomorrow. Next Sunday and Sundays after that, and God bless you all. And I appreciate this opportunity, Pastor. Yep. I hope I didn't mess it up too bad, but it's been a real treat. Well, and I thank you.
Well, we thank you for sharing a little bit of your story and your heart.
Yep.
And would it be all right if I pray for you?
It'd be more
as
than
we wrap
right.
our time.
It'd be more than all right.
Right. Yep. All right.
Absolutely.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Brother Huey.
Yes.
And for his willingness to share some of the struggle that he's gone through physically and the spiritual battles. We thank you for the ways that you made yourself known to him and to his family and friends, the ways that you lifted his spirit and allowed him to see you and also what you were doing in and through him during that process. God, I thank you for his story, and may it be an encouragement to us with the challenges that each of us are going through. May we continue to turn our eyes to you. May we continue to learn to give up control and to realize that you, O Lord, are the one in control.
Yes, sir.
God, help us to trust you. We thank you for this time. And we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Let's give Huey a hand. receive these words. May the Lord who heals all your iniquity bless and keep you. May the face of the Lord who heals all your afflictions shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the light of the countenance of the Lord who redeems your life be lifted upon you and give you peace now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Have a great week, church. I'll see you next time.